Radio Influence. Podcasting redefined.
What's up, food lovers? This is Tracy from Forking Around Town. I'm really excited for today's podcast. I have a very special guest. Her name is Casey from Casey's Confections. And as I've mentioned before, Instagram has been such a wonderful resource for me to meet people. And she is one of them. And I'm really excited to have her today and discuss her beautiful macarons that she is just incredible at making. So Casey, I first started following you on Instagram maybe a month ago, and I have to say I was intrigued by your designs. So how long have you been making macarons?
I've been making macarons for probably 2-3 years now, but I just started making the shapes about 3 weeks ago.
Oh my gosh. I would think like 3 years ago because they're so good.
Oh, well, I practice quite a bit, so it's kind of fun to practice new shapes and make new...
I have to say, like, Casey's macarons are incredible. I'm used to the standard round ones that you see at most bakeries, but hers are just really exquisite. I'm looking at some of them right now. She has a cookie monster who actually has a cookie in his mouth, a unicorn, a Minnie Mouse. She's even got an ice cream cone, a cheeseburger, which I think is pretty darn cool. I could never do anything like that, so I'm really impressed with your talent.
Oh, well, thank you. I'm actually also inspired by a lot of other macaroon pictures on Instagram. There's a macaroon Instagram, so I'll get inspired by seeing what other shapes other people are making, and it's kind of like one big circle.
I wanted to see if you could, just for everyone, explain the difference between a macaroon and a macaron, because that's something that people ask me all the time, especially my kids.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so I actually, up until a couple weeks ago, still pronounced it as macaroon for macaron, but macaron is the real way to say it. But a macaroon with two O's is a German cookie, and it's made with coconut. Mm-hmm. And then a macaron is the French Italian cookie,
right?
Which is what I make.
So, yeah. Those are great. There's a couple of places in Tampa that are known for their macarons, William Dean Confections. Mm-hmm. And then, of course, Le Macaron, which they're located, I think they have, I want to say, 800 locations across the country. But They started in Sarasota.
Oh, they did?
They did.
Oh, I didn't know that.
I went there for the first time to the Sarasota store this December. They invited me to come and check it out. They have some great flavors. It was really awesome. And they do have a location at International Mall and I believe West Shore Plaza. I'm not sure about that one, but they do have them. They have several of them in Tampa. I have to say my favorite flavor is pistachio. Do you make a pistachio one?
I have yet to make a new pistachio. I am working under cottage food laws, which is really awesome for people that are baking from home. I'm able to bake from home legally and sell to people instead of having to be in a commercial kitchen, which is great seeing as I just moved here and I obviously don't have a commercial kitchen yet. But I've had to change my food flavoring and my fillings to be technically not perishable. So my pistachio, I'm still working on to make a non-perishable pistachio flavor. But when I do, you'll be the first one to try it.
Oh, awesome. So, yes. Yeah. You're speaking my language. I love pistachio. I've never heard of a cottage food law. Can you explain that a little bit?
Yeah, so I'm still pretty new to it myself, but the baking community has been super helpful. I'm in a few Facebook groups to help me learn more about it, but essentially I can sell a certain amount of food from my home as long as it's considered not perishable. So I can only sell direct to consumers or at farmers markets, city markets. I can't do mail orders or wholesale orders.
I gotcha.
So.
Okay. Yeah, that makes sense. You learn something new every day. I had never heard of that before. What are some of your goals with your macaron? Excuse me. What are some of your goals with macarons? Do you have some shapes that you really want to try? I did notice that you do an Instagram challenge where you ask people to give you a shape. I think I gave you pizza.
You did, yep.
Which I would love to see that. That's probably hard.
I did that one, and I did not post it because it failed epically, and I am going to wait to redo it again because I'm finding it's a lot more challenging to make the macaron shape be completely macaron dough or macaron dough. Because a lot of people, they'll make the cookie and they decorate it with frosting, and that's the coloring that makes the pattern on top.
Right.
But to actually pipe it to be fully the macaron dough, it's like it's a whole new learning experience. So the pizza is a lot more complex with pepperoni and adding cheese
Absolutely.
To it and layers of dough.
So, I could see that. Yeah. I have never attempted to make a macaron, but I think I would probably fail miserably because I love to cook. But when you have to follow exact recipes, that's where I tend to struggle. I do love baking, and I love to make cookies and different breads and everything, but this would be a complete challenge for me. Have you ever thought about teaching a class?
I have thought about teaching a class, although I think I would need more experience learning different techniques of making the macaron. Right now, I just make the French method, and I've made, there are two different methods of baking, of making macarons. So I feel like I want to learn a lot more about both methods before actually teaching people about how to make them.
Okay.
Yeah.
I was at a food blogging conference in Santa Monica like 6 years ago, and they had a class where you could attend, but it filled up so quickly, so I wasn't able to get in on it. But I was watching. It was kind of in an open window kitchen where you could kind of watch the instructor teaching everybody, and it just looked so intense. It kind of scared me a little bit. So I would love to take a class if you ever offer
definitely.
One. Keep me in mind.
It's kind of funny. It kind of, when I'm making them, I feel like I'm in the show Breaking Bad.
Oh,
yes. I bring out a little food scale, and everything has to be precise gram measurements. And it's definitely a science, you know, a lot like cooking. It's you cook with the heart, you know, add in a little olive oil, a little bit of seasoning. But baking, it has to be, especially with macarons, down to the gram.
So. Oh, that's one thing I learned from a young age. And you and I are both from different states. I'm from California and you're from Wisconsin.
Yep.
Have you noticed differences in altitude with baking?
Yes. It actually took me, once I moved down here, 2 more weeks to relearn how to make the macaron because it's so humid down here that when I'm making the cookie, I have to let it sit out for a few hours. Or not a few hours. Well, it would just be 30 minutes. Now it's about an hour and a half because it creates a hard shell on top so it's not tacky anymore, which is when you bake the cookie, since there's a little kind of shell on top, it bakes up and creates little ruffles for the feet. So I had to bake quite a few batches to figure out the timing when I can actually put it in the oven, which with the humidity, it took so much longer for the cookie to dry out that tripled in the time.
That's a really interesting point, though, because there is a bakery in my hometown of San Jose, California, called Dick's Bakery, and they're known for this almond cake that they make. It's been around since probably the 50s. And I can't find the exact recipe online, but I did find a couple, so I tried to make it. And after the third try, it came out great. So I actually wrote the recipe on my blog, and somebody tried it in another state, and they just said it didn't turn out right. So I started to wonder, well, maybe there are certain notes I should include for different altitudes, which is something I really am clueless about.
Yeah, altitudes, humidity, like a lot of people say if it's raining, don't even attempt to make a macaron. Right. So it's all just a big learning process.
Very cool. Kudos to you, though, for
you know, figuring out the cake and not giving up on trying it.
Well, are you familiar with the Italian cookie pizzelle?
Oh, is that, kind of looks like a little waffle?
Those are my favorite. I've been making them since I was probably 7 years old. My dad taught me at a young age, and I have one of those pizzelle irons. I love them. I went from making them, I would say, literally every year for, I'm really going to date myself now, 30 years. When I came to Tampa, I had to change my recipe a little bit. Not much. I just had to make some alterations because they were burning really quickly, whereas when I would make them in California, I felt that they needed more time in the iron. And it's the same iron. I've had it, I don't know, probably 25 years. Anyway, that's my little baking story of how I learned about altitude. So there you go. One other question I want to ask you is, when you moved to Tampa from Wisconsin, did you notice a big difference in the food scene?
For types of food, I'd say it's pretty similar, although there are definitely a lot more restaurants in Tampa compared to Milwaukee. Milwaukee's, you know, on the up and coming. It's, you know, every few months there's a new restaurant popping up. But once I moved to Tampa, I started a bucket list of restaurants, and I feel like every single week I have 2-3 more restaurants that are being built or that are brand new that...
To add on to your list.
To add on to my list. It's just, it keeps growing, so...
I moved to Tampa in 2003, and I have to say I've really watched the food scene out here grow tremendously. And when I first moved here, I was incredibly homesick for California, especially the San Francisco Bay Area. I really missed the sourdough bread, the clam chowder, so many things. But I have to say, 15 years later, I've really fallen in love with this city. And like you, I have a huge bucket list. I feel like every day I go on Instagram, I see a new restaurant that's opening and I'm excited to go try it. And I spend way too much money on food. Some people spend money on clothes. I spend money on food. It's a bad habit, but it's a delicious one.
Oh, I agree. I'm with you there on that one.
Speaking of Instagram, do you have any favorite Instagram influencers that really encourage you to go try new things, or ones that are kind of like your go-to or your Bible when deciding where to go eat?
Oh, yep. I have quite a few, actually. So when I first moved here from Milwaukee, the first thing I did, because I'm a big foodie, I love going to restaurants and out to eat. The first thing I did was I followed a bunch of people on Instagram to get to know the city, because I didn't know anything. I didn't know restaurants, things to do, places, or really anyone. So I just immediately went to Instagram to see what's up and coming in Tampa. So I followed you, Forking Around Town, and your Eat, Drink, Be Tracy, Flavor of Tampa Bay, Travel with Noelle, and Genia Be Me Food. Those are all food accounts that just are always posting not only beautiful pictures, but I've gone to quite a few of the places that they posted, and I can agree, they were very delicious. And then I also followed Went in Tampa, which is a really great Instagram, which let me know about places like to go to and things to do. Like, I learned about Armature Works through them, which there's nothing like Armature Works in Milwaukee. So it just kind of blew my mind, this really cool place. So, yeah.
Awesome. I have to say, I was looking at your feed earlier today, and one of the macaron designs that really caught my eye was the pineapple with the cactus. Was that a hard one to do, the pineapple?
So that was one of my first shapes that I really tried. So the pineapple one turned out pretty good. The cactus needs a little bit more work. But I was just trying to think of things that are really popular right now, like unicorns are blowing up, tropical themes. So I just make my own templates. I just put a piece of parchment paper up against my computer, and I will just trace out what I think will be a good template for piping a macaron. And that's how it came to be.
She also has a cheeseburger one that I'm absolutely in love with. I just want to eat it. In fact, she brought me one today. So as soon as we're done recording this, I'm going to be munching on it. I cannot wait.
Unfortunately, it does not taste like a cheeseburger, which is probably a really good thing. It's just vanilla, but...
Oh, it's just so cute, though. I mean, this would be a great gift item. So do you think that you'll be selling, well, for example, I know you do private parties and weddings. When the holidays come, do you think you'll be doing a lot of orders for special shapes and sizes?
Yeah, hopefully. I'm going to start working on my fall shapes, like pumpkins and skulls and whatnot. And then I'm going to work on also Christmas shapes to do that Christmas gifts, which I can do direct sells to. So, yeah, and I'm working on my pumpkin spice flavor right now. So for the holidays, I'm definitely going to gear towards
things
pumpkin. That suit that.
Yeah. Pumpkin spice everything,
yep.
Right?
Yeah.
I do love my pumpkin spice, but I have to say I can't drink the lattes anymore. I think I overdid it a long time ago, so I'm kind of burned out on them.
Yeah, I've actually never had a pumpkin spice latte. So
they're good. They're just, they're really sweet. Really, really sweet and decadent. You can follow Casey's Confections on Instagram. And her handle is @Casey's, and that's Kasey Confections. You are absolutely going to fall in love with her beautiful work. I just can't stop looking at them, and I'm just drooling over all of her pictures, and I guarantee that you will too. Thank you so much for joining me today. It was awesome to have you, and I'm so glad I met you on Instagram. I mean, it's just one of the reasons why I love Instagram so much. I've met some incredible people, and you really are very talented.
Well, thank you for having me. I feel like Tampa has been so supportive, especially being new to the business and the city. Having people like you reach out to me has really helped support and encourage me to keep going with my business. So thank you.
You are so welcome. And I just have this feeling that you are just going to really blow up in Tampa. So I hope that...
Hopefully.
You will still remember me.
Oh, yes.
And if you ever perfect your pizza macaron, I definitely want it.
Oh, yeah. You'll be my first taste tester.
Thank you so much. Thank you so much for listening, and be sure to subscribe to my podcast. It is available on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, TuneIn, Google Play, and RadioInfluence.com.
This is an Ian Beckles Flavor in Your Ear Quick Fix on Radio Influence.
The king of pop, Michael Jackson, his birthday just went by. He was going to be 60 years old. I can't believe Mike would have been 60. you know, Mike, when it's all said and done, you know, people love Michael Jackson, and he got away with a lot of stuff, that's for sure. Love his music to death. Probably the most, when it's all said and done, he might be one of the most confused people that were ever on the planet, because I was watching the show and they had his kids, Paris and Blanket, I believe the kid's name is, two of his kids who are whiter than any other kids I've ever seen in my life. Now, we all know that Michael Jackson at the end, his skin tone was whitish. They say Villalago, I say bleach. But clearly, those are not Michael Jackson's seeds. Clearly, Michael Jackson is my complexion, or he was my complexion. You are not, no way. A black seed is not turning out blonde-haired kids. It is not. Good for them. But wouldn't it be a tough situation if you're 18 years old and you have blonde hair and Michael Jackson was your father? Wouldn't you eventually say, maybe I should go check to see who my father really was? Or mom, what happened? I think she was inseminated personally. Now, that's all their business, but that's definitely not Michael Jackson's seed. That is for sure.
You can find Ian Beckles' Flavor in Your Ear on iTunes, Stitcher, TuneIn Radio, and RadioInfluence.com.